Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking. Recognized as the best Pan-African bank for SMEs. For tailored solutions and deep sector expertise, search Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking today.
Now let's move on to this. And South Africa's exchange-traded product industry, I understand, is booming, marking a 14.5% rise in total market cap over the past 6 months to 258 billion rand. But beneath the growth lie deeper questions, I think. Are new listings driving value or just variety? Is the surge in gold-backed ETFs and foreign index trackers a vote of confidence, or maybe just a warning, a stark warning about investor sentiment? Joining me now to discuss the numbers and hopefully the strategy behind these trends is Mike Brown, Managing Director of ETF SA. Mike, a very warm welcome to you, and let's go straight to that top line figure, 258 billion rand, a 14.5% growth, as I mentioned. Is the growth structural, or do you think we're riding a wave of short-term commodity and currency volatility?
That's a good question, Jeremy. But, you know, we've had a very progressive increase in the size of the exchange-traded product industry now for a number of years. And it's really a shift, I think, in the markets towards using more simple index tracking and, listed security products that give you the benchmarks of the major indices around the world, you know, whether it's South African equities or global equities or bonds or listed property or whatever have you. And so I think there is this long-term switch towards passive type investment products, which give you equally good returns to those produced by the active managers. So I wouldn't attribute the last 6 months to any particular short-term trends. I think it's a longer-term situation.
If I've read the report correctly, around 14 billion rand in new capital raised, but only one new ETF listed. So is this, in your opinion, a concentration in existing products, or does it show maybe a lack of innovation?
Well, an ETF or an exchange-traded product is open-ended, so you can create or redeem securities at any stage. So if there's excess demand for a product in the market, you just create new securities to take up that excess demand without driving the prices to a premium. And that's one of the ways that you make sure that ETFs always track exactly the performance of an index. And so that's an ongoing situation where existing listed securities will raise new capital or redeem new capital depending on market demand. So the 14.5 billion is that's quite a nice figure. It's a little bit higher than we've seen more recently, but it's in keeping with the long-term trends. Now, there's only one ETF that's been listed, but there's been a number of new actively managed exchange-traded products that have been listed over the last 6 months. And that's the new development in the industry where managers that actively manage their portfolios, asset managers, are saying, well, let's list these on the stock exchange rather than trade them off the stock exchange, you know, through unit trusts and non-listed markets. So the transparency and liquidity and all the other custodian settlements and structures that you get through having a listed security is to the benefit of those active managers. So we're seeing a lot of activity in terms of new actively managed products, but ETFs, which are, you know, just pure index tracking products, yes, there's only been one new product listed, but there are nearly 100 ETFs already on the JSE, so there's a lot of choice.
Mike, can you do a bit of active decoding for me? The sense I get is that often this instrument carries higher complexity and maybe a little bit more risk. And my question is, are retail investors, do you think, truly equipped to navigate these products effectively and safely?
Well, yeah, when you say there's more risk, an ETF is a very transparent product because it has to publish every single day what its value is, what it holds. In other words, which shares, which make up an index, what it's holding those shares on, what the value is every day. Now, non-listed securities don't give you that transparency and don't give you that security of knowing exactly what you own all the time. And they're simple because you can buy and sell them just through the stock exchange, through your broker or through an investment platform. You don't have to go through an infrastructure or having a financial advisor who then takes you to a platform who then takes you to the issuer. Just being on a stock exchange where the products are traded on the secondary market does create a lot of security for investors. Don't forget the stock exchange guarantees your ownership of any product that's listed on the market, and that's not a guarantee that you get with unlisted products. So I think there's a gradual shift in retail investors' acceptance of exchange-listed products, not only in South Africa but globally.
So stronger disclosure requirements are not necessarily important, and there's enough investor education, I think, is what you're suggesting to me.
Education of investors, yes. I think there's a these are relatively newfangled products. They've only been around 20 years or so, whereas unit trusts have been around the last 70 years. And the ETFs are very low cost, which is the big benefit for investors. But of course, a low cost product means that there's not a lot of fat in there for a financial advisor or for an intermediary to make money. So the low costs work to the benefit of the retail investor, but they've often got to do their own homework in finding out what these products are and what they do and so on. And I think that's where the education comes in, Jeremy. And people like yourself, of course, are well poised to provide that type of education.
Well, hopefully that's why we're having the conversation tonight. Mike, again, if I've read your notes correctly, a shift to offshore index ETFs. But if South African equities are outperforming global benchmarks, certainly in the first half of the year, why are investors still looking outward? Do you think there's still a trust issue in the local market?
Yes, it seems like, you know, as you quite rightly say, the South African equity market has outperformed the global markets not only for the last 6 months, but actually for the last 5 years when you crunch the numbers. But I think the general feeling is for a lot of investors, well, I want to be offshore. They're bigger markets. They give me a greater choice. I'm not sure whether the rand is not going to start depreciating again, you know, in the near future. So there is this demand for global products, and even though they're actually underperforming at the moment, the local market, and that's an unusual situation. It may change over time, but the one factor that is important in exchange traded products is if a product is listed on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, even if it references a global index, you know, a global equity index or a global bond index, you can actually buy it without requiring any foreign exchange approval. The JSE, in fact, manages that foreign exchange approval for you on an umbrella basis. So whilst it's quite difficult to invest in global products using conventional sources, using the stock exchange makes it much more accessible for investors, particularly small investors. And that's what we're seeing is the increasing a willingness by local investors to say, well, I want to get my offshore exposure through the local stock exchange rather than having to go and set up accounts, you know, in international markets and with international companies and so on and so forth, where there's all sorts of issues in terms of compliance and FICA and knowledge. How well do they know you as a client? And that makes it very difficult to deal with them often. So the simplistic way of getting exposure to global assets through the stock exchange is, I think, very attractive to many investors.
At what point do you think product proliferation starts to confuse rather than serve investors?
That's a very good question. Again, it's there is a lot of choice, so people have to filter through it. But what you're typically finding is that for many issuers of ETFs, whether they're a big asset manager like an old mutual or a Sanlam, or they're a bank, they often want to have their own products that track, say, the Standard & Poor's 500 index, rather than going using old mutual's product or using Sanlam's product. We'd rather have our own product. So a lot of the proliferation of products is just new issues of ETFs saying, well, we want to have our own products that we can then sell to our own clients rather than using somebody else's products. So there's a lot of duplication involved rather than, I think, having an excessive amount of choice. And typically you would then, if you're comfortable with using Sanlam or Sanlam-owned Satrix, using Satrix products, well, you would then just use a Satrix S&P index or a Satrix World Index perhaps as your first choice. So the proliferation is really the way the industry is developing. And I don't think it means that you've got an excessive amount of choice. You've just got a lot of products that give you the same thing.
And just be a little bit more strategic and judicious, I think. Mike Brown, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you very much indeed for the fascinating conversation. Managing Director of ETFSA, I appreciate your time.
Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking.